Well, hey, everybody, it's Donna Partow welcoming you to week four, Thursday of week four for the 90-day renewal fall of 2014. I pray that you are being blessed. We are beginning to really sense. People are texting me. We're really beginning to sense a move of God. And we believe that God's going to be bigger than the static in my ear. I pray that it doesn't drive me nuts. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than technology. You are bigger than every obstacle, that your spirit is able, even when the technology is weak. And so, Father, I just pray that your spirit would move in a way that is loud and clear for your daughters to hear. That's the cry of my heart, that I would not be hindered in any way by this distraction, but would be able to press on and proclaim boldly the message that you have given to me tonight. And it's a message you've given through someone in the class. So I pray that it would ring out loud and clear despite the obstacles. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. Well, this is week four. It's Thursday of week four. The week begins on Monday, and our focus has been on fasting. You actually had, I believe, your first two-day fast this week, and I pray that it was blessed. I pray that you are beginning to discover the power of fasting and that you actually can. We have so many women say, oh, I can't fast. You know, not sure what that means. That means different things to different people. For the most part, the person who most thinks they can't fast may very well be the person who most needs to fast. And some of you are discovering that. So I'm really super proud of you. In the teaching, which I hope you've listened to or read the transcript, I talk about how God never moves us from mess to glory. He always moves us from glory to glory. So whatever situation you're in right now, do everything that you can to make the most of it. And then I gave examples throughout the Bible of people who were robbed of blessings or got themselves into quite a mess, were robbed of the opportunity to live a glorious life, a life that reflects the glory of God because of their stomach. Because they just were in bondage to one degree or another to food. We talked about Esau, robbed of his inheritance because of a lack of impulse control in the area of food. What price are you paying right now for your inability to exercise impulse control in the area of food? I guarantee there's a price being paid. We looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we hear a lot about what sin it was that took Sodom and Gomorrah down, but the Bible tells us that a part of it was the sin of gluttony. The sin of gluttony. We don't hear a lot about the sin of gluttony anymore, but it was once considered one of the seven deadly sins. Does a lot of damage, more damage in our own lives and in our culture than most of us are willing to admit. In the book of Numbers, we saw that the people of God complained and stumbled on the road to their destiny because they didn't like the food. How ridiculous is that? Their favorite foods were a higher priority than the promised land. And we look at them and we think, how on earth could they have done that? What were they thinking? God had this incredible blessing for them. God had delivered them from bondage and was leading them to absolute freedom. But they didn't like the food. They didn't have their favorite food, and that was more important. But I wonder, can we get honest with ourselves? Do we have a favorite food that is more important to us than pretty much anything else? Maybe it's our morning cup of coffee. Come on now. I'm just being honest. That is more important to us. Our favorite cobbler, we can't fast because it would mean letting go of our food. Our favorite foods. And meanwhile, while they were stumbling and never did enter what God had for them, Moses fasted 40 days and was radiant with the glory of God. Now, of course, he later showed lack of impulse control with his temper, and that cost him. But impulse control, You are paying a price if you are not bringing your impulses into subjection to the Holy Spirit. It is costing you. It's costing you. And as someone who's worked a 12-step program, that's one of the first things you got to do. You got to take an inventory and find out, what is this addiction costing you? And if you can't fast, 99 out of 100 people who, quote, can't fast, it's because they do not and will not exercise self-control and impulse control in their lives. That's just honest. See, I love you. You didn't enroll here for me to be your friend. You enrolled in this program for me to be your coach. And I used to say it all the time. I haven't said it much in this class. I'm your coach, not your friend. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to tell you things that maybe no one in your life has the courage to tell you. But I'm from New Jersey, so I'm serving it up straight tonight because you are paying a price. Esther fasted, and God used her to save a nation. Hannah was weeping and fasting, crying out to God to that thing that she wanted most, and God granted her the desires of her heart. Daniel fasted and became a ruler in the government with authority and honor. I believe he survived like 4 or 5 different kings and kingdoms. Who does that? Listen, when a new administration comes in, when a new kingdom conquers another, in Old Testament times, and who are we kidding, throughout the world today, the first thing they do is kill all the high officials. They don't say, hey, you are so valuable, not only are we not going to kill you, we want you in our kingdom. Even in the United States, when administrations change, rare indeed is the individual that the Republicans will say, you know, you served the Democrats for 8 years, but you are so valuable. You have such honor and integrity. We want you on our team, too. Daniel survived, I think it was 4, and it may have been 5 different changes. Wow. But first he had to control it, bring his impulses into subjection to what God was calling him to do. And some of us, this is going to be the first time in your life that you've ever done this, and it is going to change your life, I'm telling you. I shared, and I'm not going to dive into it because I want you to listen to it, but briefly, the benefits of fasting, it gets God's attention. I mean, God looks down and he's like, wow, there's a person willing to give up food. They're not playing, they're serious. Let's send an army of angels to reinforce them. It can break a bondage. There are specific health benefits. I don't want to go too far, but if you search the internet, I mean, for every disease known to man, there's somebody out there who says they were healed of it by fasting. You hear from God more clearly. You go to the next level in ministry. There are so many examples of that in the New Testament. Jesus, the Son of God, fasted 40 days before launching his public ministry. Up until that time, we're not even seeing the Son of God operating in the miraculous. And then he comes out of that 40-day fast and begins to walk in a whole new level. I don't want to say level of authority. I'm not even sure how to word it because he was clearly fully God, fully man all of his life. But if you look at Scripture, it goes out of the way to show us that it was not until he came out of that 40-day fast in the wilderness that his public ministry was launched. Peter was very likely fasting when he heard the call to minister to the Gentiles and open up the gospel into a whole new area. They were fasting corporately in Antioch when Paul and Barnabas received their missionary call. And it was out of that missionary call, not only that the gospel began to spread worldwide, but that Paul, through those experiences, wrote, what, 2/3 of the New Testament? Fasting, we can secure victory in a specific battle. I talk about Jehoshaphat, and everyone uses that as, hey, the worshipers went out first. Worship wins the war, and that is true, but what preceded the worship? A corporate fast. There's deliverance when we fast. Matthew 17:21, Jesus said, this well-entrenched, these bondages, they only go out by prayer and fasting. Fasting brings rewards. Isaiah 58:8 says, then your light. When is then? Then is after you fast. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Then is after you fast. Then God rewards you. Your light breaks forth. Your healing comes. Whatever healing you need, whether it's spirit, soul, body, relationship, finance, I believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And one of the most powerful ways to demonstrate your sincerity and determination to diligently seek him is through prayer and fasting. And on that teaching, I share a lot of practical tips. If you have questions, you can ask them tonight at the end of the call. And, of course, on the Facebook group. Now, speaking of the call, I want to mention, before I open up the line, if you have had a chance for prayer recently, like in the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, whether in this class, on the teleseminar with Deanna, or, you know, one of the other classes, please be considerate and put others ahead of yourselves tonight. Give others an opportunity to press *6. Some ladies are nervous, you know. They're sitting there in their house, and they're like, I've never pressed *6 before. Where is that star button? I don't know. What am I going to say? And they're nervous, and they're hesitant. And the way it works, and I'm sure some of you don't know this, the order that you press *6 is the order that I get to you. So I'm concerned that what's happening is that the ladies who most need prayer and encouragement sitting there, where's the star, you know? Are you picturing it? They're last in line. So tonight I want us to be really, really super sensitive to that. And if you've had prayer in the last 2-3 weeks, stand back for a minute and let some other ladies have a chance for prayer or, you know, for questions, whatever they need. And then once all of those women, like maybe the first-time ladies or the infrequent flyers, if you will, after they've had their turn, then, of course, we'll open it up to everyone and we'll see what God does. So I just really appreciate your honoring one another in that way. It is amazing how God is working and how God is moving. This is so epic. Our challenge, the next challenge that we're going to have in this class, and the challenges begin on Monday. I kind of cast a vision on Thursday and they start on Monday. I might need to rethink that next time, but that's the way it is right now. It's going to be the second part of the 7-9-10 challenge. And I really encourage you to listen to that teaching on the 7-9 challenge. It's in the audio called The Witching Hour. And I put that up and I posted it, I think, yesterday or today. The 7 is to stop eating by 7 p.m. or at least 3 hours before you go to bed. And there is a whole school of thought with a lot of data to support it, a lot of research behind it and nutritional support that they call it intermittent fasting. And what it means is you can fast an extended period, like 12 hours a day, just by sleeping 8 hours and stop eating 4 hours before you go to bed. That's a 12-hour fast, right? If you stop 3 hours before bed, that's an 11-hour fast. And they're finding that that alone can make a significant difference in your health and in your ability to burn fat. So take a look at that. There's a lot of, you know, science behind this. Stop eating at 7 o'clock or at least 3 hours before you go to bed. And if you can then move it back to 4 hours before you go to bed, that might not be a bad idea, but at least 3. And then the 9 in the 7-9-10 challenge is to turn off all electronics. Turn them off. Shut them down. And then number 10 is go to bed. Now, this current week, again, ending on Sunday, our challenge has been stop eating before 7. We're on that. And I do want to say, if you have to stay up later for a specific reason, maybe your husband's work schedule or some other legitimate reason why you eat later at night, that's fine. Just simply adjust. But if all possible, I would love for you to participate. And again, week 5, this begins Monday. If you want to start sooner, it's fine. But beginning on Monday and going through all next week, we're really going to focus on turning off the electronics in addition to not eating after 7. So we're building up to it. And, you know, just so you know, most of you ladies can guess this, Week six, what's going to happen? The challenge is going to be to add the last piece of the 7, 9, 10 challenge. Stop eating at 7, turn off all of your electronics by 9, and be in bed by 10. So little by little bits with consistency, we're building up to it. Electronics have been proven to interfere with the quality of sleep. Studies conclusively demonstrated a direct link between a TV in your bedroom and insomnia. I'm not aware of studies on laptops, iPads, and smartphones, but I will bet you anything the results are the same. And some of that is just because maybe mentally you get all wound up watching TV, watching the news, whatever. But there's a lot of people who think that there's something even about the transmission from those electronics that can interfere with your sleep. So maybe unplug the modem, unplug the wireless, turn everything literally completely off, not just like silence it, unplug it. And one thing that we came up last time, and this was Lorette's idea, you can actually have a timer. So you plug all of your electronics into a power supply, right, and then plug the power supply into one of those timers that automatically shuts it off. So this takes the willpower out of it, right, that you'd actually have to deliberately go and turn it back on and make a conscious decision that you're not going to be part of this. So that might not be a bad idea for some of you, to make it automatic. The more you can put your life on autopilot, remember we talked about that in the 7 Secrets for Weight Loss? Yeah. Don't drain your willpower. Don't make your day filled with hard choices. Put it on autopilot. So some of you need to go to, you know, Radio Shack, wherever, and get that little device. I don't think it costs much money. And put your electronics on the timer. Shut them off. Walk away. This is a big challenge, I'm telling you. This is huge for me. You know, why are we ending our day with bad news? This is a major, I'm being honest, a major issue in my life. Because I like to keep informed and I, you know, like to follow the news. Just this week I was reading Smith Wigglesworth. I've read like 3 books on him in the past week. It's my new obsession. And someone asked him, hey, Smith, do you read the newspaper? And he said, no, why would I read the newspaper? I've got a direct line to God. If there's anything going on, God will tell me about it before it happens. Why would I bother wasting my time reading the newspaper? He said the only thing he read was the Bible. That's all he needed. That's all the news he needed, the good news of God's word, the good news of the gospel. He didn't need bad news in his life. So I was already just feeling convicted about this. This past Saturday, God completely confirmed all of this, that we are on the right track with a powerful word released, not to me, but to one of our students. Now, hear me now. We plan these challenges ahead of time. Okay? And we hadn't announced that this was the challenge. So this is not me. This is God speaking right now. No doubt. One of our students from Australia, Dolores Wilson, received this word from the Lord. It convicted me to the core of my spirit. And I was like, this is what we need to look at tonight. This is unbelievable. This is so spot on and from the Lord for every one of us. I'm telling you, maybe there are 2 people who don't need this, but I believe the vast majority of us, this is a word from the Lord for this semester of the 90-day renewal. And if we will walk this out, we are going to see the power of God like we have never seen it before in this class. Here's what God gave her. And I posted this on the wall, and I will send it out tomorrow. I'm sending this to my entire e-list tomorrow. There's been an exchange taking place, an exchange of my word for that of the media, an exchange of my presence for that of technology. No wonder the devil's having a heart attack. An exchange of my voice for that which tickles the ears and makes you feel good, an overloading of the airways. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen. What of the night? The enemy is infiltrating by stealth and deception into your lives while there is an incessant noise which would drown out my voice. The enemy is after your seed, your children. Pray for your country, your government, that they will not be taken unawares. Pray for your children. Cry out for the land, that there would be an awakening of the people, that people would have ears to hear my voice, that they will have eyes to see what is happening in their midst, that there will be a knowing of the fear of the Lord again. Cry out for your loved ones. Stand in the gap. Make mention of them in my ears. Pray without ceasing. Let your voice be heard on high. For surely there is a time when I am coming with a holy fire to burn up that which will not stand. I'm coming with a refiner's fire. Therefore be holy as I am holy. There is an exchange. You are right now, whether you know it or not, every hour of every day, you are making an exchange. I looked up the word. Exchange is to give up something for something else. To part with something. To change for another. To engage in substituting one thing for another. There's always an exchange happening. Every moment that we are spending our time on something other than crying out to God and pressing into Him to become the women that He would have us be, every minute that we're substituting something else in our lives, there is a price being paid. There is an exchange. In chess, an exchange is to capture an enemy piece in return for a capture by the opponent. Generally, of pieces of equal value. See, we're in a supernatural chess match here. And the enemy is trying to capture your time and attention. Our time and attention. I will put myself in there. I am right in there with you, sisters. This is huge. He is trying to capture our time and our attention. All of this technology. Yes, I want you in the Facebook group. But I don't want us surfing the internet all day long. Television, turn it off. Make a decision. Some of us need to fast, not just from food, and idle words, we've talked about that. Some of us need to fast from electronics. Again, don't leave the Facebook group. I don't mean that. You need to be held accountable. You need to check in with that. Maybe you need to just check in with the Facebook group once a day, let us know how you're doing, and then peace out. You're gone. But there's an exchange happening. You know, people say, oh, I don't have time for this. We all have 24/7. We all have exactly the same number of hours in our day that Smith Wigglesworth had. It said that he never went more than 15 minutes, a half hour at the most, without reading God's Word. We don't have time. I once had a huge controversy. In fact, a woman who had written an endorsement of my book pulled the endorsement because the women in her Bible study were so offended that I wrote in one of my books that if you don't read through the Bible every year, what are you doing? What is it that you're doing that's so important? And they were just, she literally pulled her endorsement that I would say such a thing because it really upset the ladies, especially one of her relatives. One of her relatives got really, really upset about that and actually confronted me in person. Why would I say that? Why would I say that maybe you're living your life wrong if you can't, you know, just read through the Bible in a year? Yeah, there are Christians that haven't read it through ever. What is it that we're doing? That's my point. There's an exchange here. I just hurt some feelings. There's an exchange here. We all have the same amount of time. What are we trading it in for? This challenge, I'm telling you, I'm running with this thing. This is God. This is a message from God. You want to walk in power. You want to become the woman God wants you to be. You want to experience healing in spirit, soul, and body. I am telling you because I love you and God has placed me in your life for this season. This is it right here for a lot of us. For a lot of us. The enemy has captured our attention with a never-ending parade of distractions and stuff that doesn't matter. What are you exchanging? And is it worth it? Is it worth it to you? We could be walking in the power of God, the supernatural power of God that transforms us from the inside out. And if you were on the webinar, Unleash the Power, you know the second step was declare a fast. Number one, get desperate before him. That's what this word is. It's a call for God's people to humble themselves and get desperate before him. Number two is to declare a fast. Throughout history, Bible times, and throughout all of church history, the power of corporate fasting, and we see it here at Women's Empowerment University, there's power in corporate fasting. Number three was to determine exactly what has to go in order to make room for God. That's exactly what this word said, right? There's an exchange. Something's got to go in order to make room for God in your life. So you need to sit down if you haven't done it yet. What needs to go, specifically in the area of technology? Favorite TV show, whatever. At least turn it off by 9 o'clock at night. That's the challenge this week. Stop eating at 7, 9 o'clock, turn off the electronics. Some of us just going to turn it off a lot sooner than that. Number four, embrace the initially uncomfortable experience of absolute silence. What happens when you turn off all the technology? Come on, is this confirmation or am I going crazy? What is all the technology? It's constant noise. Visual and auditory noise. We've got to turn it off and embrace the silence. There are people, and I'm sure some of them are on the phone. My family was like this. The TV was on in my parents' house 24/7. I know people who sleep with the television on. It is on at all times. If you think that is not interfering, number one, with your health, and number two, with your spiritual walk with God, you're in denial. I love you. I'm serving it up really straight tonight. Turn it off. I haven't had a TV in, I don't even know. For the better part of probably 30 years. Once in a while, we've got it, but it's not plugged into anything. And we used to have a small one that we kept in a closet, and then we'd take it out once in a while if we wanted to watch something. And then when my kids were growing up, we'd have videos, DVDs that, mom approved. But we didn't just plug in the plug-in drug and let them have at it. No way. We're not just going to unleash any old thing that the devil wants to pour into our house. And it's not even the program. I didn't want the commercials. I didn't want that filth in my house. What are you inviting into your home? There's an exchange. You're trading something. You're trading something. Every move that you make either positions you to walk in the power and the fire of God, or it positions you to lose spiritual ground. Number five was to make sure your body knows you're too legit to quit, to mix up your prayer. We had a girl share just either today or yesterday. I think it was Kari. Yeah, it was Kari. Shared that for the first time, she took up the idea of praying in a different way. She prayed flat out on the floor like I do, and she was blown away. She could not believe it. Give it a shot. Number six was just agreeing with God. We all need to come into agreement with this word. I want you to come onto the Facebook group and say, I'm in agreement. I have been on the wrong side of this exchange. And then number seven was just let go of the stupid stuff. And the media is stupid stuff, really. This is stupid stuff. people airing their opinions and housewives of New Jersey and Chicago and wherever else. It's stupid stuff. By the time it hits the news, it's too late. If we would tune in to God, we would be praying ahead of time and half this stuff wouldn't even happen. Again, if you missed that webinar on Unleash the Power of God, or even if you did see it, take some time, watch it again. It is time for you to experience the power of God through the power of fasting. And the power of fasting from food, from idle words and chit-chat, and from idle media madness and nonsense. There's so much in this class. There's audios, articles, even a video all about fasting. So dive into it. Take it serious. This week's teleseminar mentions all about the power of fasting. You've got both the audio and the written transcript. I just want you to know it takes me like a full day to do one of those transcripts. So I pray that you're being blessed by them. It's way more work than I thought I was signing up for. But if you dive in and you read it and it helps you absorb, then it's worth it. I want you to dig deep into this challenge. Determine that during these 90 days, you will develop the habit and the lifestyle that we're talking about here, a lifestyle of fasting every Monday. Develop a lifestyle of, quote, intermittent fasting. 7 o'clock, 3 hours before bed, you shut it off. 9 o'clock, the latest, shut off the electronics, turn off the TV, turn off the laptop. I pray that you, by the end of these 90 days, Mondays, you fast. That's your fast day. There's a whole science behind fasting twice a week. It's called the 5-2 diet. I think it came out of London. A lot of research that if you fast 2 days a week, you can eat whatever you want the other 5 days. And by fasting, they mean less than 500 calories. So cabbage soup. If you eat a cabbage soup 1 or 2 days a week, honestly, the other days you could probably eat whatever you want and still lose weight. Don't do it, though. I want you to develop healthy eating habits. What I'm calling for now, though, is not like just fasting on Mondays. I absolutely want you to do that. What I'm challenging all of us to is an extended fast and to really get into the fasting zone. In the Power of God class, we began a 10-day fast yesterday. That's October 1st, continuing through October 10th. And many in the Power class are joining, and I'm putting out a challenge. I want you to join us in that. I really do. I want some of you, again, come on the Facebook group. We'll post this up. How many days are you fasting? How many days do you want to participate? 1, 2, 3. Set, whatever it is. Who wants to be part of this? I believe this word. I believe that God is going to send holy refining fire. And that fire is going to fall on those who are pressing in. I don't think I shared it on this Unleashing the Power of God. We did a similar seven-step message last year. We called it Rekindle the Fire. And I shared really honestly on that one that I used to go to meetings and just see other people literally like shaking under the power of God. And I would be like, what's up with these people? What's wrong with them? These people are crazy. They're weird. They're crazy. What on earth is that? And I would get into prayer lines and, they'd put their hands on people's head and people would be like shaking and falling over like, what is this? Come on now. And then I fasted and prayed. Extended fast. Guess who started shaking? Guess who fell over? It is to the point, again, I might be stepping on toes and hurting feelings tonight. But when I do live events and I go and lay my hands and pray, and I'm learning to be more cautious about who I put hands on. Note to self. I can tell. You can just feel it. Just feel it. That person who has prepared themselves to really receive what God wants to release in their life. Again, we're not under law, we're under grace, but I'm telling you my experience. I'm being as honest as I know how to be. I just don't know how to be any more honest than I'm being right now, any more transparent. When I fasted and prayed and put away some of the nonsense and stupid stuff, all of a sudden I found out why people were shaking, because they were shaking under the power of God. When that holy, and that's what it is, it's a purifying fire. It's a fire that brings us to repentance and burns away the nonsense and the stuff that doesn't matter. You see, we take that step. We take that step of faith, and we start choosing to removing the stupid stuff. We choose to fast. We take those 7 steps towards God. And you know what God does? He takes a giant leap towards us and gives us divine acceleration. We take 1 step, he swoops in with his fire and begins to accelerate the process. And he's looking for us to take a step in this direction. This word is just so powerful. No wonder the enemy tried to disrupt this message. You know, he is called the prince of the power of the air. Think about that. Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air. And I think the enemy does send down his messages over the airwaves. Yeah, again, there's some great movies too. You know, Amazing Grace, we just watched that last week. Secretariat. There's some real God-honoring movies out there. Amazing movies. Once in a while, you get a good TV show. But for the most part, come on. For the most part, who's ruling the media mountain? The enemy, the prince of the power of the air. For the most part, when we expose ourselves to media, we're not exposing ourselves to anything good. Again, what? We're just being honest. We're just being honest. So it's time to get honest. This challenge is from the throne room of the King. And I'm just praying that some of you are going to rise to it, because those who rise to this challenge, you're not going to be the same. You're not going to recover from this. Even if you backtrack from it and back away from it, you will always know. There will be a place in you that always knows the truth, that this is there for you at any time. That's what happened to me. When I went through that process for the first time, I now know the truth. I know the steps. I know what it takes to get back into God's presence and walking in his power and where I need to be with him. And you will know. And no one can ever take it from you, because you will know that you know that you know what's possible for you. It's right here for you. I'm gonna pray. And then we're going to open up the lines. Reminder, as I shared earlier, you know, if you've had prayer within the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, be considerate of others who maybe have never pressed *6 before, and they're nervous and they're shaking and they can't find the star key. You know, give them a chance, because they're not going to be as quick on the draw because they've never done it before. So let's give a little bit of room for some of the ladies to get their courage. I'm going to speak to them and pray for them. Maybe those who've never had a chance before, or it's been a long, long time. And then once those ladies have had their turn, yeah, if we get time, we'll open it up to everybody. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Oh, Lord, boy, this, I knew this was going to be a battle. I felt it. From the minute I picked up the phone, this was going to be, even going in, this was going to be a battle with the prince of the power of the air. But, Lord, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And we are pressing in and pressing on, determined to get hold of all, to lay hold of all that you have for us tonight, all that you have for us tonight. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come now and speak. Amen.
I'm going to stop the recording, and that's going to be an interesting one to edit.